As I've been preparing today, it's been for today, it's been really interesting because last week Rich said, didn't he, that the Lord really interrupted him in the night last week before he preached, and he completely changed his talk around, which was fabulous. And the kind of same thing happened to me, not in the middle of last night, but as I was preparing for this, I thought it was going to go down a different route. I thought I was going to be focusing on that beautiful song, My Hands Are Open. I want to move so you can move. I thought, right, that's where we're heading. And it's kind of where we are heading. But actually, the Lord dropped two words into my heart as I was praying the other day. And he said, you need to, well, a couple of words, you need to travel lightly in this season. And so that's where we're heading today. We're going to talk about travelling lightly, or as I've kind of, if you want a nice little snappy phrase, make space in your case. Right. And I just think it's really interesting at the moment, isn't it? And again, and I'm learning all in this time at the moment. I don't know what the Lord's doing with me personally sometimes, but it all feels like it is this unscripted thing is coming to life. And to fully embrace that and to live well in it, we need to not carry too much, but also carry the right things so that we can respond as the Lord moves and that we can discern what he's doing, remaining available. We need to live really lightly, and that's going to be different for all of us. And what I'm hearing as I'm reading stuff and obviously on the internet and that is, in church gatherings at the moment, there is this sense of going off script. Everything's going off script, and they're using that language. So that thing when we're talking about the unscripted, it's not just something that's happening here, it's happening in the global church, and that's really, really exciting. I mean, our off script will look very different to elsewhere, so it's important that we don't try and, you know, replicate that, we do what's right for us here. But it is happening. This is a time of not knowing really what's going on and just sort of kind of going with the flow. And the other thing I've realised, again, and this is sort of a post-COVID thing, is that we need to be really careful. We're not going back to ramming our schedules and our programs full of the things we did then, just because it makes us feel comfortable and we feel secure in that and we can do that. The other week when we were at the leaders' conference, it was interesting because we were talking about the schedule, the Sunday plan, and Rich was going, there's some gaps in the schedule. We need to kind of fill them, don't we? Because we get uncomfortable when we don't know what's happening. But by the end of the conference, we were kind of like, it kind of doesn't matter if there's these gaps. God will fill them, and if there's nothing happening on a Sunday, something will happen, but we just have to be comfortable in that. So I would just say, you know, be really mindful of that, because the danger is you'll just revert to packing your life with whatever you did before pre-pandemic, traditions, things like, I mean, one of our family traditions used to be we always went to Dave's mum's for tea on a Friday night. And obviously during COVID couldn't do that. But actually it's been really helpful, because what we've done is we still probably go most Friday nights, but we don't feel that we have to. So we can make ourselves available to do other things. It's not like it's a big tradition. I can remember actually thinking back, it always used to be a Thursday, didn't it, when your grandma was alive. And then when we changed it, because, oh gosh, it was just like, oh my gosh, we're changing from a Thursday to a Friday. Be really careful of that, because you can get yourself into a bit of a rut and not really know where you're going, or then you won't have time to be available. As I said, I think there is this spacious place that awaits us, but we've got to have a look at what's in the suitcases of our life to really see what's in there, so that we can enter the place that God wants for us. So, as I said, I love that song, I want, you know, My Hands Are Open. That line, I want to move so you can move, really speaks of the needing to empty ourselves so that he can fill the space with what he's got for us. And that's where I think we're heading. So I'm going to ask you, is there some unpacking and repacking that needs to happen so you can create that right space to live lightly and to let the Holy Spirit move? So, a couple of points. So, have you got the right bag for the journey? So, those that know me, I've got some funny quirks, and if you follow my Instagram, the loves of my life, obviously over and above my family, are soft furnishings, cushions in particular. I've got a particular obsession around cushions. They come out all different seasonal ones. Napkins for tableware, and general table settings. Really obsessed by that stuff. probably a bit too much, but I love it. And but the other thing that you probably don't see so much in there, I quite like a bit of luggage, if I'm honest. And I like it. It's got all match. And I've got different sizes in different makes as well. Again, they have to, some of them have to be particular makes. And it's just one of the things that Dave kind of humours me with. And I had a beautiful suitcase for my 50th birthday, which is, it's very stylish. It's monogrammed and everything. It's glorious. And it's got a lovely luggage label. And I'm adding to that collection. And Dave doesn't know. Well, he sort of does know that, actually. But I will add to that. But the beauty of having all these different bags is you've got the right one for the right journey. And I'm just going to go through some real life luggage examples of mine, just so you can help maybe picture in your mind what is it you're carrying around at the moment. So there's three examples of when I've been on my travels and I've packed a bag to get there. And just think about these things, because they'll make you maybe think about what you're carrying around in your life. So I've got packing for my Turkey all-inclusive holiday times two. You get given a luggage allowance, don't you, on a plane? And I think, well, if there's a number to reach, then you reach that, particularly for this holiday. So particularly the one after COVID, where we were able to buy extra luggage because we had all this money given to us from TUI because our holiday got cancelled and all the rest of it. So we bought extra luggage. So I thought, well, if you've got 25 kilograms, you've got to take 25 kilograms, right? That seems sensible. And I won't even get you started on my, another OCD about having enough underwear for the journey. It's just like, yeah, anybody agree there? So that's another one of the things that I just need to get comfortable with. I've got enough pairs. So packing for Turkey, like literally dresses, shoes, all of this stuff for all occasions, packed, rammed in. But what was interesting about that suitcase is when we came back, is majority of that stuff was unworn. And probably actually went through the washing machine again. Yeah, so that was a bit inefficient, wasn't it? This stuff. Then this suitcase was rammed with all of this stuff, half of which I didn't wear, half of which, it was too much. There was too much choice to be made in that situation where I had all of this stuff. But what was interesting about that is there was no room in the case to bring anything back from the journey. So if I'd have wanted to buy something at Brickback, there was no room in these suitcases that were rammed with my glorious array of dresses. I'll try and get better this year for it, but who knows. Dresses just used to keep appearing, didn't they? No, it's for Turkey, that one. So that's my all-inclusive packing. Right, packing for America. So probably, we haven't been to America for 10 years or so, but we used to go every couple of years and we loved it. And the reason we loved it, because at the time the dollar rate was really good and the shopping was great. So what we used to do for going to America, we used to take half a suitcase with us because we knew when we got there, we were going to fill this case to the brim with stuff that we'd already planned in our minds we were going to buy when we were there. T-shirts, trainers, all of it. So there was we'd always have a long list of stuff. We'd been on the internet. We worked out what we were going to buy and all of the rest of it. But then in addition to that, when we were there, we'd always buy more. So we'd have to buy another bag for this unplanned stuff. So we'd come back from these trips with America, the car full up with all of the extra bags that we'd packed. But that was really interesting, wasn't it? Because we had kind of planned what was going to go in that bag when we were bringing it back. And then there was all of the other stuff on top. Again, interesting just to think about that. And then this last bag, and I packed my little monogram case. I thought, well, Lord, if you're talking to me about travelling lightly, I need to kind of see if I can actually do this thing in practice. So when we went to the leaders' conference, I literally did pack for the 3 days, one pair of trainers, two pairs of jeans, four tops, because I couldn't not have a spare, four underwear situation, it was good to have a spare, and I just, no, no, it, It's too much information, but it's important. But what it made me do was just travel with what I needed for that journey. I really genuinely had everything I needed. So I didn't have to do a lot of unpacking. I didn't have to do a lot of washing when I got back. I didn't have to choose what I was going to wear each day because it was obvious. And I think probably that's where we need to be in this season. We just need to have enough for the journey we're going on. I've got a lot of scriptures today, so I hope you've got pens or you can go back and listen. But Matthew 6 and verse 25 to 34 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, and tomorrow is thrown on the fire, will he not much more, clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all of these things, but your heavenly Father knows what you need. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. In each day has enough trouble of its own." So that's got us thinking about some types of bags and experiences in my life of packing. So the second thing I thought of is that we kind of need to do a bit of an inspection, don't we? And you get to the airport, don't you? And so they said, did you pack the bag yourself and all of this kind of thing? So this is what I'm kind of thinking about here, is this is where we're going to do a bit of an inventory to see what is in there. And just recently, Dave and I have started watching The Chosen. Anyone watched it? Brilliant. Absolutely addicted. And it's a depiction of the life of Jesus, basically. You can get it on Prime and other things, or on the internet through Angel. Is it called Angel Productions? Yeah. It is absolutely worth a watch. And sometimes these things, these depictions of the life of Jesus, can be quite twee, can't they? And quite serious and all of the rest of it. But it's been really interesting to watch because it's really brought to life the Gospels again for us, and just seeing how it all kind of hung together. They put in some backstories as well, which, yeah, there's a bit of artistic license with some of it, but it's great. And what's great about it is you realise actually they had quite a good time doing what they were doing, and Jesus in this depiction is funny, like hilariously funny, and some of the things that the interactions, because we read scripture, don't we, and we read it like this, we don't sort of get those kind of funny interactions, and it's great. And you see the disciples, they're all swimming together in the lake and all of this sort of thing, which again we don't necessarily think about these things. So it's been interesting today to see what it looked and felt like when the disciples were called and then sent in the context of travelling lightly. So there's some scriptures I'm going to read out now. So when Jesus called the disciples to follow him, so here's three situations where that happened. So Matthew 4, verse 18 to 20, and these are all from the Passion Translation. "As he was walking by the shore of the Lake Galilee, Jesus noticed two fishermen who were his brothers. One was nicknamed Kephas, later called Peter, and the other was Andrew, his brother. Watching as they were casting their nets into the water, Jesus called out to them and said, 'Come and follow me, and I will transform you into men who catch people for God.' Immediately they dropped their nets, left everything behind to follow Jesus." And then in Matthew 21 and 22, "Leaving there, Jesus found three other men sitting in a boat, mending their nets. Two were brothers, Jacob and John, and they were with their father Zebedee. Jesus called Jacob and John to his side and said to them, 'Come and follow me.' And at once they left their boat and their father and began to follow Jesus." And then lastly, and this is my favourite one, and actually I think he's my favourite depiction in The Chosen, Matthew, when Matthew is called. In Mark 2, verse 13 to 14, it says, "Jesus went out to walk near Galilee, and a massive crowd gathered, so he taught them. As he walked along, he found Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at a tax booth, collecting taxes. He approached him and said, 'Come and follow me.' immediately he got up from his booth and followed Jesus. And it's really funny in The Chosen, because again, what you sort of don't necessarily get from reading the scripture is kind of how these people would have been dressed and all the rest of it. And Matthew in The Chosen, he's dressed quite well because he's a tax collector and he's really wealthy, he's got a big house and all of the rest of it. And he just gets up, leaves the booth in his fancy clothing. So it wasn't like he went home and thought, well, I'm going to go on a journey, I'll go and get some travelling clothes on. He got up and he left as he was. And I think that's important as at the moment as well, that we don't have to necessarily think about, oh my gosh, am I ready for this journey? Do I need to pack accordingly? You might just need to come as you are. And then when Jesus sent the disciples out in pairs, in Mark 6, verses 8 to 9, it says, he says, take only your staff and your sandals on your feet, no bread, no knapsack, no extra garment, and no money. And in the message it says, Jesus called the 12 to him and sent them out in pairs. He gave them authority and power to deal with the evil opposition. He sent them off with these instructions. Don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for this. You are the equipment. No special appeals for funds. Keep it simple. And I think that's possibly what the Lord might be calling us to do in these days, is we don't need any special equipment to meet with him for his Holy Spirit to fall. We come as we are, we keep it simple, and we just trust in him that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. So, three areas for inspection that you've got to have a little look at to see if you've got the right stuff in your bag. Firstly, the physical. And I think this is important because, again, we have that kind of innate sense of needing to know where we are going next. I think we're all probably like that. It's not one of us that doesn't probably think, oh, it kind of doesn't matter, or I'm not bothered, or whatever. Because we want to, in our human natural ability, plan for what that looks like, don't we? Whether we like it or not, probably we like to know where we're going so we can plan accordingly and make everything fit around it. And this season's not like that, I think. Whilst we can put some things in place so that things aren't completely chaotic, we need to be in that place where we're happy and comfortable that the plan might not come to fruition or something else might happen. And that's why I said about being completely dependent on the Holy Spirit and his leading, we just might need to adjust our physical world. So a couple of questions for you, just a challenge. It says, this is me saying, are you prepared to physically do something different? Do you need to put something down to create space in your world so that he can move in a new way? Is your schedule so fixed and inflexible that it would be difficult to respond to the new and to a move of the Spirit? And again, just that's really interesting, isn't it? Because we make plans, don't we? After church on Sunday, we've probably all got plans of what we're going to do next. What if? What would you do if all of a sudden, I mean, yeah, we've got some time constraints and all the rest of it, and we have to be respectful of that. But how flexible or movable are our plans so that we can let God move? And I've mentioned this before about being comfortable in the uncomfortable of the unscripted. Are you really happy to just wait and see what happens? Because we might need to do a bit of that. And then just ask yourself the question, what do you need to do to get yourself physically comfortable with this space? Because you might, yeah, there's be some things you need to change. And interestingly, Sue mentioned at the beginning there, Proverbs 16, verse 9, we plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. Just hold that one really lightly. And then secondly, emotional stuff. And what I'm thinking about here is predominantly due to our thought life and how fixed we are in our perspectives and the ways of doing things. We probably, all of us, somewhere in here, we've got some fixed ways of thinking or ways we like things to be done. And the same could be said of church. We like church done in a certain way. And the danger is if we're too fixed in our thinking, we're not prepared for change or able to change. We use language like, it is what it is. Things can't change. Oh, I've always done it this way. It's my way or the highway. Got a few people at work like that. It's quite hard to transform the way you work or the way you do things if you've got somebody who's, it's my way or the highway. It might cause you, if you've got this sort of fixed mindset, to give up really easily, or you might feel threatened, unsettled, or even sceptical about changes that happen. Seen that before. Quite often people might go, oh yeah, seen this before, done this before, yeah, why is it different this time? Be really careful about that. You might also, in your fixed mindset space, believe that putting any effort into the new is worthless. And I think probably people with fixed mindsets are more prone to being anxious or to worry. And I think probably what I'm seeing is that this season requires us to lean in to this change in environment. We need to persevere with it. We need to be open to learning together. There's going to be some things that are great. There's going to be some things that are not so great. We've just got to be prepared to learn. And also, I think really important is just to pay attention to the journey we're on and not think about, well, what's the end point? The end point's important, but actually the journey is going to be really important. And I think we have to try and remain positive and encourage one another and be supportive at these times. In that book I referenced the other week, Transforming Church, John McGinley says, Jesus is inviting us to reimagine what it means to be the church. But our minds can be fixed in a particular way of thinking, and this framework will not allow any hope that things could be different to penetrate it. This way of thinking prevents us from engaging with the renewing work of God in his church. So be thinking about that. Where are you so fixed in your mind that there's not space in your case for God to move? More than ever, I think we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I like the way the Passion Translation puts this. It's Romans 12, verse 2. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of culture around you. I kind of thought, actually, not just the culture around you, but the fixed things that are in your mind. Stop those things. Try and get them out. Actually, think differently. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. And then the spiritual in our inventory. Are you a spiritually hesitant person who's prone to saying, it's not my time? Are you not confident in stepping up and out when you're called? If that is you, and I think probably again, all of us can do that. It's not for me. It's not my bag, it's not my gifting, whatever other excuses. I think we're probably in good company, because again, in The Chosen, when we saw the bit where they're at the wedding, this is before the water was turned into wine, they're at the wedding, they're all having a great time and all the rest of it, and Jesus' mother comes up to him and goes, and she says, they're running out of wine, you need to sort this thing out. And I hadn't noticed this before, but he said, is this any of our business, mother? Yours or mine? Is this our business to sort this thing out? This isn't my time. Don't push me. And then he went away and had a little word with himself, and the rest is, as they say, history. But isn't that interesting? He had that moment of hesitancy that was, is it my business to sort this thing out right now? Isn't my time? But actually, you know, God had other things. We need to be really careful about that. And as we heard from Richard last week, don't wait until tomorrow. Procrastination is just it's just an awful thing, isn't it? And Proverbs talks about procrastination. It says, don't procrastinate. There's no time to lose. And there's that sense of urgency in these days, isn't there, that there's no time to waste. The Passion Translation says, don't put it off and don't rest until you get it done. So again, be really careful that you're not putting stuff off that we can do today. And then I think we need to believe what we've heard, be quick to obey and follow. There are, you know, the loose ends do not need tying up before you do something. And we see examples of this again in the Gospels. In Matthew 8, it says, and this is the Passion Translation again, it says, at the sight of large crowds gathering around him, Jesus gave orders to his disciples to get ready to sail back over to the other side of the lake. Just then a religious scholar approached him and said, teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no true home in this world. And then another man spoke and said, Lord, I'll follow you, but first I must take care of my aged father, bury him when he dies. And Jesus said to him, now is the time to follow me, and let those who are dead bury their own dead. Be really careful about that need to sort things out before you do something. And then, importantly, again in the spiritual, and again for the suitcase, you've got to consider your clothing, haven't you? And this is a funny time of year, isn't it? It's one minute we're getting the spring dresses out, ladies, and next minute I'm dressed like Nanook of the North because it's snowing again. Really, really tricky to work out what to wear. And scripture talks a lot, doesn't it, about being clothed. And we need to ensure that we pack and then clothe ourselves in the right garments for this season. So what are you packing? Here's a few references to clothing in scripture. Are you packing the clothes of strength and dignity that enable you to laugh at the future, however uncertain things are? That's in Proverbs, from Proverbs 31 and verse 25. Are you wearing or packing, in your case, garments of praise instead of spirit of despair? That's from Isaiah 61. Job makes reference to a turban of justice. Is that in your case? Have you got the garments of salvation and the robes of righteousness available to you? And I think it does go without saying, as we're pushing into the Lord at this time, that we cannot journey anywhere without packing the armour of God into our case and putting on that regularly, because we're going to come up against some objections, as Rich said last week. We're going to feel the enemy pressing in on us as we press in. So we need to have the armour of God readily available to us and all of the accessories that go with it. So I'd be thinking about Ephesians 6 and all of those items in there, because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. So reread that, put that in your case. And then the last thing, I think, in this little section here is about trusting. We need to trust that God's going to sustain us in this season. That do not worry scripture, really important here. Seek first the kingdom. You know, when Jesus sent the 12 off in the pairs, that was all about trust, really. He was saying, right, don't take anything with you because I'm going to provide for you. You just need to trust that I'm going to do that and that, you know, miraculously things will happen. And it says that, doesn't it, in Proverbs. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try and figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. And I think that's the thing. If we try and figure out everything God's trying to do in this season, we're going to get ourselves into a pickle. We need to listen for his voice in everything we do, however small, however big. Because when we do the small, the big becomes easier. And this is where we have to make space. And I think all of these areas, I feel the place we need to get back to is understanding and really knowing that his ways are better than ours. When we were away at the conference, there was a beautiful song that we sang, and we'll play it in a moment. And there's some lines in it. It says, and I think this is what all of this is about in terms of the suitcases of our lives. It's about shaking up the ground of all our traditions, breaking down the walls of all our religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. So as we come into land, a few points of conclusion. How full is your luggage? What's in your bag? Do a bag check. Is it fit for purpose for this season? Again, focus on those things where you are so fixed in your ways and thinking and finding it hard to move forwards, and do something about it. We might want to pray into some of that stuff as we take time to come back to worship. Have you got the right clothing? Are you clothing yourself with the things of God? And do you trust him that he's going to provide for you, that he's going to sustain you? Are you living in complete dependence on him? And again, in John McGinley's book, he says, I think this reformation, so this moment of time in the church, is about clearing away a lot of stuff that has built up, that gets in the way of God, so that we can have more space for him. And that clearing of space is personal within our hearts and lives and within the cultures and practices of the church. When that space and freedom open up, the momentum begins to build as God pours out his spirit into his church. And that's what we really want, isn't it? We want there to be enough space and enough room for him to do what he wants to do with us. And as I said, we're going to... we're going to put a song up on the screen, and I really want it to be a time where God can minister to you in this space of knowing that you're carrying the right things at this time. So it's not a moment to check out of what's gone on, so the word's done and all of the rest of it. We're going to come back into a time of worship where we can respond to his word, however that looks. We don't know quite what that looks like at the moment. We're going to see. But I'd say we just... Come into this space really open-hearted and open-handed, so that you can respond. It's really important at this time that we make time to respond to his word, that we pray for one another. Last week was beautiful, wasn't it, when people were starting to move around and pray. I don't know what that looks like this week. It could look completely different, but be prepared to respond. It's important, I think, that we don't rush what God's doing at this time. So do what you need to do. If you need to sit, fine. If you need to stand, fine. There's plenty of room around the place today. But that's what we're going to do now. And I'm just going to pray. Rod will play the video. The band will come back ready to minister to us. And let's just see what happens for the rest of the time that we have together. So Lord, I thank you for this word that encourages us to travel lightly, to make space. Lord, I pray that in these days that we will learn and be willing to make space for you to move, Lord. Lord, where there are things in our lives where we know that they're just too full and they're not full of the things of you, Lord. Lord, help us to unpack and really pack for this journey ahead. Lord, I pray particularly for those who are quite fixed in their ways of doing things and their traditions, Lord. Lord, I pray that there'll be freedom to be able to cope with what a move of your spirit looks like in these days. And Lord, I just pray that as a church that we are open to what you want to do with us at this time. In the name of Jesus. Amen.